a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. This is it. Guess the year.
Hey, here we are. Time to go. It is Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarines' favourite Tuesday base game. Talk about guess the year. Going to play little bits of songs, guys. We're going to cast our minds back through the mists of time, try and remember where we were, what we were doing the first time we heard that song. It'll give us a fair indication as to the year it was released. We write that year down on a piece of paper. It's closest to that going over in the traditional Price is Right fashion.
Love you, Larry.
Best of three arrangement. I think we're ready to play.
Yep, got my pen. Let's do it. That was solid, Tommy.
I know. I really wanted to get it right this week because I cooked it and mixed up the lyrical headlines and the guess the year spiels last week, so...
It's okay.
Here we are.
You learn from your mistakes.
We've all got regrets. We've all got things we lie in bed and think about at night.
Tommy's still got a handy lead in this game for the year.
Okay. All right.
Let's go.
Question number one. Sounds like this. But how classic, I guess, is the question, yeah?
It's a hard thing. I've just had a guess. Just had a guess.
Okay, I've got mine. I started playing that song for the kids the other day.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And then realised what the lyrics are.
Oh, like, that's all right. Don't worry about that.
All right, here we go. We've all written a year down. 3, 2, 1.
1991.
Oh, here we go.
The year was 1992.
I'll take it. Thank you very much. All right, question number two. What year did this song come out?
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
Yes.
Stop dancing, love.
Don't do that with your hips, please. This is a place of business.
I can't help it.
Keep it professional, mate.
Okay,
please.
I've got it.
You've got it, do you?
Yep. On the money.
Okay.
Right on the
nose.
Oh,
hang on. Oh, I think I've got way late because I thought it was another one.
I think I've gone way early, but here we go. Have we written something down?
Okay,
here we go. Yep. 3, 2, 1. 1995.
Nine.
Oh
God, I reckon I've gone way too early. Here we go.
The year was 2005.
Yes, sir! Oh,
good on ya, the old Objection Tango, hey?
It was not that late.
It was, yeah. It was.
Well done, Lord.
Right.
I would like to. Look, when we go to the ads and go to news, I will check that one.
Yeah, so thank you.
Here we go. Are you ready? Are you checking? Or
I'm
are you
checking.
Okay.
Okay.
One to you, Tommy. One to you, Log.
Yes, I'm right. 2005.
Okay.
The album was called Oral Fixation Volume 2.
Okay.
All right.
Ooh, question number three.
This is hard. Lee just
Who's this,
to
Tommy?
Me.
Yeah,
who
Billy
is it?
Joel.
Billy Joel. Give me a hint as to who it is.
Bruno Mars.
Okay, so that... Is
it? I've written something down.
I don't believe you.
No, it is. It's Bruno, mate. It is.
Okay, therefore, if it's Bruno, it's about
Yeah, right.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. 2012.
15, I went.
12, 13, 15. All right, here we go.
The year was 2012.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Was that you, Tommy?
Yeah.
Oh, look at the smile. Of course it was you.
Exactly.
I'll take it, gang.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Do you want the scoreboard?
Yes, please, for the year.
Yes. I remain on one. Log sitting way back on two.
Ooh.
And Tommy, you're on six for
six.
Guessing
you. Got to be good at something, guys. We'll play again next Tuesday.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I think we're getting to the bottom of this.
Yeah, this is like full investigative journalism
it
by us.
Is.
We want to know what's the go with those clowns that we're seeing everywhere. They're, of course, advertising the Great Moscow Circus. Starting on Thursday in Warm Ponds, obviously everyone knows the Moscow Circus, how cool it's going to be, but we've seen all these clowns pop up, the big inflatable ones, and we wanted to know how they end up there. Is there money changing hands? Is there tickets? Is it just a friend of a friend? What's the go? I've loved the fact that they've completely freaked Loggy out. That's a cool little side bit.
Yeah, it's great.
They're making an impression, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Great advertising.
But we were wondering, how the hell do they get in people's front yards? And what is the process and what happens? And we've discovered People don't want to talk about it on air.
No. Everyone wants to stay anonymous.
Yes, anonymous information. Now, I had Anonymous give me a call.
Yeah.
And say that they know a business that was approached.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what suburb it was in, but they know a business that was approached and they just knocked on the door and said, hey, how would you like to have a big clown in the front yard? And they were offered 10 tickets.
Cool. Okay.
To the circus for their efforts.
Right.
They declined.
Ooh. They declined. Okay. Okay. So yeah. We'll cross that one off. We know a few other businesses that have got them.
I was also talking to Anonymous during that song, a different Anonymous, and they know what the goings on are, and it is a selection of locations made by the Great Moscow Circus. They pick the spots. They do go and knock on the door.
Wow.
And they say, hey, can we put the clown in your yard and we'll hook you up with a bunch of tickets.
Wow. So that's a ticket offer.
Yeah. Look at you two, Woodward and Bernstein, hey? Just a great journalist.
What that means. Is that, is
that's
that,
the Watergate, Washington Post, the ones who broke the story on Richard Nixon.
I've only seen the Muppet interpretation of that, so am I Kermy?
It was a compliment to you two.
Anyway, the clowns. So that's, very, very interesting.
There you go.
I would be like, if they knocked on my door, I'd be like, how do I know you're really from the circus? Do a flip. Do something. balance on me fence.
Yeah. And you could show them your move of putting your legs behind your head and you might get a gig.
Yeah, nice. All right. No, thanks.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
You should feel lucky if someone goes to the effort of making you a birthday cake, because obviously there's a lot of love there if they take the time.
Oh, yeah.
To actually not only make it, but decorate it so that you have a special time for your birthday.
Yeah.
Then that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But when you're 3 turning 4... sometimes you don't care.
No.
Really? I care. I remember my 4th birthday. It was a shape of a 4 and it was green, had Smarties on it. Hmm. And I vividly think about this cake a lot more than you'd expect.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I loved it.
Random.
Okay. So sure.
You're so random.
Don't you remember?
No, I don't remember my 4. I remember cakes vaguely that I had growing up for my birthdays, but I don't remember specific, like...
Oh, I remember, specific cakes.
Cannot remember a single cake.
Okay. Well, that's just sad.
Anyway, I had the train and I had the robot, the sitting robot from the Women's Week. Anyway, so we've got a dear friend, Laura, who has moved down from Darwin with her son, and we went to her house on Sunday afternoon. For a birthday party for the young fella. Now, he's basically our nephew, right? We love him so much. And she was like, oh, I'll do a birthday party next year. We'll just get you guys around. We'll have some drinks and you bring the girls. So there'll be other kids there and we'll have the cake. So we'd just been at like a play center birthday party, which was intense and lots of kids.
Chaos.
And crazy, yeah?
Yep.
So we were like super keen, like just go roll around, have a gin and just hang out and blow some candles out and a bit of cake and whatever and some snacks. And so got there and we're chatting and the kids are playing. We gave him his present and so did Uncle Adam rocked in too. So there's a few of us there sitting around and Laura goes, oh, look at this cake that we made. So her and her friend have made a cake for the young fella and it's a... just the circular one, just a normal round cake.
Like a bundt cake.
No, it's like a normal, you know, the birthday cakes that are really common these days that you can go and buy or like have made for you where they're like a top hat shape.
Oh, a higher round
cake. Yeah, a little bit higher. So I don't know if Laura makes a lot of cakes.
Oh,
shots fired.
Because, no, it was like it was delicious. But it was layered inside.
I'm feeling something.
But it was a bit at the top. It was a bit on the wonk, right? So it looked like someone had sort of pushed in one side of the top hat, if that makes sense.
But maybe it was a jaunty hat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or maybe it was a skateboard ramp.
Well, it was a Spider-Man themed cake. So red icing, and she'd gone to the effort of like getting chocolate icing or whatever and making web around it and stuff.
That's cool.
I've got a video here of her with the candles on the cake.
Mm.
So for context for everyone, there's a bunch of candles on the cake. There is a sparkler that is in the shape of a 4.
Yes.
Cool.
And that's also cool. A little plastic sign that says happy birthday, right? So there's a fair bit going on. And not only that, but she's put a Spider-Man figurine that is quite large. At the last second, she's plonked that on top of the cake too, right? Yeah. And where she's plonked it is at the bottom of the lean. So if you imagine the top of the cake is a hill.
Yep.
Yep.
Spider-Man is standing at the bottom of the hill.
Yes. Gotcha.
Behind everything else, right? Yes. So
can we watch this video?
Are we all going to hit play at the same time?
Let's all hit play at the same time.
Okay, hang on.
And you'll be able to hear young Jara's reaction.
Okay. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that looks cool.
Happy birthday to Jara.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, Dad, just pause there. That bang.
Okay.
Jara sees the cake, bursts into tears.
Freaks out.
He's
freaks
like,
out.
No.
Yes.
It's awful, Mum, is the reason he's crying. The cake is terrible. Then
it looks really cool.
Yeah, she's done a great job, but it's not quite, it's not cake shop cake.
But maybe it's because it's red.
Yeah, like, but did you miss the bit where...
No, I saw the bit where Spider-Man
goes flying.
So she's holding Spider-Man with her hand and she puts it down on the table and Spider-Man tumbles off. So you hear that. So Jerry's now traumatised.
And that's Uncle Tom that's picked it up there and put it back.
Yeah, and I tried to put it back on the cake. It didn't. Oh, and so I end up putting it next to the cake.
Yeah.
Continue with the video.
Okay. Hooray! Hooray! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then the candle's on fire.
No, the,
it's the sign,
that's the plastic
sign
happy birthday sign.
So the child is already crying because Spider-Man has fallen off and the cake is on the wonk. And then the sparkler has lit the happy birthday sign on fire.
On fire.
So it's molten plastic now. And so I'm there. Uncle Tom just swoop in, grab that sign and take it straight outside as I'm thinking, God, I hope molten plastic doesn't drip on my hand.
Yeah.
And then, like, blow that out and then the candles proceed.
Go, blow them out.
Can you blow
them, ready?
Not sure.
I will.
Yay, a big party!
And then he starts trying to blow the candles out.
Keep going.
Yes. It's not an enjoyable experience for him, you could say.
He was traumatized by the whole thing. He hated it.
His face suggests he hates it.
Yeah.
I have one question. What? Is the main reason for you showing this video to us that you wanted to be seen as the hero?
You're the hero.
You carried off that flaming sign like a true Aussie hero.
Yeah, no,
I just thought it was hilarious that he hated the cake so much. The first thing he did when he saw it was cry.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
When you go to the supermarkets, you see a bag of grapes there and you say, well, there you go, there's a bag of grapes. That's going to be my bag of grapes. And you pick it up and you move on with your life. But someone in my life, they like to have a look. I'm not telling you. They like to have a look at the grapes inside and say, no, I don't like these ones. I'll put them in another bag. Oh, that third bag over there looks like they've got good ones. I'll put that into my bag. And they have it and make their own bag. And they're touching the grapes. I don't like that.
You know the only reason why you walk in and go, that's a bag of grapes and therefore that's a bag of grapes and I've got to leave with it, is because you've been brainwashed by the corporate overlords.
Yeah, I know. And now that you've said that, it makes me want to fight the man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I personally, for my grapes, I shop local. So I go to a greengrocer who does have that set up where it's a big sort of tub of grapes and you put however many you want in a bag.
Yeah. Do you finger their blueberries as well?
I would rather not comment on that. Fear of incriminating myself.
Well, there you go. Let's go to the phone, though. Is it okay to just make your own bag of grapes? Carol from Mountain Air, good morning.
Good morning.
What say you?
I'm pretty sure you have had this argument before, and I agreed. Sorry, I make the bag the size that I want it to be.
Yeah, cool. Okay. You make your own bag of grapes. You're allowed to
take out half the bunch, and I buy half a bag.
Yeah, so I will take out some as well. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that's different from actually taking everything out of the bag and then picking the good grapes and leaving the brown ones.
Yeah.
Also, Carol, really high chance that we have sort of rehashed this content.
I know. It may have. We normally be quiet about it.
I'm still trying to find out who's doing it, though, Carol. I'll get to the bottom of that. Jade from Point Cook's on the line as well. Jade, what about you? Are you okay with creating your own bag of grapes?
Yes, very much. I'm a little bit with you, probably not as passionately me, but the bags are just made there to make you believe you have to take a whole bag. You still buy by the kilo so you can take things out, you can choose good grapes. I know that depending on the day and if we have daycare or if we have children home for the weekend, I might make a bigger bag, a smaller bag. I do take out the grapes that don't look very good.
Yes. Wow.
I'm all for it.
Whoa, Jay.
However, I'm not for tasting a blueberry before you buy the blueberry.
Thank you, Jade.
But this is not what this is about, Jade. I don't feel like that is what this is about. You've no boundaries when it comes to grapes, but all blueberries, all of a sudden, we're all worried about the blueberries.
Well, you don't buy them separately, you see, Tom. Let's go to Michelle from Altona Meadows. What do you think, Michelle? Can you make your own bag of grapes at the supermarket?
100%, yep. And I'm not, like, you know, we're grabbing it from the stem, so I haven't got my fingers all over the grapes. It's just from the stems. And I'm picking the grapes that I want in my bag.
Yeah,
and I'm with Lingy as well. It's like I've had this argument and I've had my mum run away from me in the shop. She sees me taking the grapes out of the bag and says to me, you can't do that. It's like it's in the bag. You have to buy it with the bag and everything. Right. And I'm like, no, you know, yeah, I'm one of them.
Michelle, let's be honest. The bags that the supermarkets supply are purely their way of hiding the crappy grapes at the bottom of those bags, isn't it?
100%. There's all the, you know, squashed and off ones down the bottom.
Brown ones,
turning into wine, pretty much, yeah.
Wow. Too much wine. Well, that bag of wine also sounds lovely, to be honest. Let's get Diane in Finesford to wrap it up for us, mate. Diane, what do you think?
Tom.
Can you make your own bags of grapes?
You can, but please don't finger them all. I mean, just take the amount you need. Don't go picking everywhere. You know, put that on it.
Bit of respect for other people. I get it. That's fine.
And as I said, Tommy, I'm traumatised buying my blueberries now as well. It's like, has he been here and got them already?
Yes.
You're worried about mine? You're specifically worried about whether I've touched your blueberries?
Well, no, that you've reduced the amount in the punnet and that others will follow you as a leader.
Yes.
Traumatising.
Where do you shop?
Well, potentially Geelong West or Barrable Hills, and every now and then out at Lara.
Oh,
no!
Yep. All right.
The trauma increases.
I have definitely been in your blueberries, that's for sure.
I just can't buy them anymore.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.